Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for you. I thank God for this day. It happens to be a very beautiful day here in Indy, one of those days we just thank God for. But we've learned to say that phrase no matter what day it is, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether it's snowing, coronavirus, whatever. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, someone once said, I said to someone, have a great day. He said, no, make it a great day. Make it a great day. Really, it's up to us, by and large, what we do, even with bad circumstances. So make it a great day. Right? Try to have it. But if having don't work, just make it a great day. Amen. Amen. I thank God for our praise team, Minister Sean, the praise team. Thank you so much for leading us into the presence of God today. Elder Owens, thank you for your exhortations. And my wife, Patricia, First Lady, thank you for you sharing. And I praise God for this moment, for this hour. Yet, as you watch this live, we're in the pandemic, but we are in Christ in the pandemic. We're in Christ in whatever we're going, in everything, give thanks. And we're seeing some progress. We're seeing some setbacks. We're seeing some deception. Folks say it's over. It's not over. We're in it, but we're in Christ in it. We're in wisdom in it. We're in faith in it. Amen? Thank God. I want to share a word today with you that I believe will encourage you, entitled Principles of Progress. Subtitled is Rivers and Roads. I'll explain that to you in the course of the message. And the Lord's been speaking to us, through us, to our world, to our church families and the whole community. And this is an opportunity to be salt, to be light as God's people, as God's church. And I pray that we're looking at issues head on and then facing them with courage and faith and prayer and action. I believe sometimes the church misunderstands our purpose. We're here to preach the gospel. We're also here to affect the world around us. And so we pray for people and we preach the gospel, but we get in where people live and we help them overcome their struggles. Amen. We don't just say things like we need unity. We don't say things like only we got to heal the races. No, we say you got to stop racism against black folk. We got to stop police brutality while we yet appreciate all the good cops. So speak the truth. It's not a time to feel comfortable or to seek for ease of conscience. It's a time to have your conscience stirred, let the Spirit move, and be a watchman on the wall. In Ezekiel, God said, both warn the righteous and warn the wicked. Warn the righteous not to fall away from your righteousness, and warn the wicked to stop what they're doing. And that's as much a part of our mission as handing out tracts and saying, be warm, be filled, be happy. We're going for joy. Happiness just comes and goes. But the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Amen. If you have your Bible, hold your Bible up. We're going to get into the word right now. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. And I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me show you the title again to this message. Again, Principles of Progress. We are progressing. What are the principles to help us progress? And the subtopic again is rivers and roads. We'll come to that from Isaiah chapter 43. Let's begin in Philippians chapter 3 today. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Not that I've already obtained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Let's also read Isaiah 43, our second text for today. Isaiah 43, verse 18. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." There's the subtopic, roads and rivers. There is a famous sentence from the beginning of a book by Charles Dickens. I had not read this book, called A Tale of Two Cities. But it opens with this phrase we've heard before one way or another. It says, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." His book begins that way. It's a book about French Revolution. I haven't read it, heard about it. But again, those words ring true today. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. And I believe it's important and very important for us, even though we experience and we see some of the worst of times, to not focus on the worst of our times. I want to today address the topic of, again, principles of progress, looking at God's word from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, from Isaiah the prophet in his book, because there are keys, specific keys God gives us on how to make progress, no matter what the times may bring. And even though there may be worst of times, there are also best of times. And that's where we as believers have the advantage and the blessing of being able to focus on God's kingdom, on God's word, on God's spirit, and experience the best of times, even in the midst of the worst of times. Now, I will say this to you. Where our church is concerned, we're not having services yet. We're doing, again, I'm here, my praise team is here. But our church is experiencing increase, not decrease. I mean, churches and all of God's people in the kingdom, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, that we're not going to lack. How can God be God and we lack? And so we've seen increase in giving. We've seen increase in encouragement. We've seen God do great things, even though we're not in the building. Because, listen to you, hear me. Contrary to popular opinion, the church is not closed. The building may be closed, but the church has never closed. The church is Jesus and Jesus' people. And we've learned how to focus more. We missed the assembly, for sure. We'll get back there. But we're learning that God has no limitations. Even closing a building, a church building, does not limit God. So principles of progress are going to address these matters of how we continue. Before we come back to our buildings, we can't come back for what? Doesn't matter, changing your position and your jobs or conditions in your body. God wants you to know you're going to progress in these times. Amen? So I'm going to progress in these times. Now, one of the keys for dealing with difficult circumstances in this present time is to realize that hope and encouragement come from looking forward and making progress. Because again, if you only see the bad times, you can't get better looking at what's wrong. You have to address what's wrong. You look over there, you pray, you deal with that as much as God gives you grace to deal with, but then you look away from it and look forward to progress. Don't get stuck in one thing. Don't get stuck in the protest. I mean, protest is important and it's necessary. But the time comes, stop protesting and start acting and start doing what you're talking about. So we are going to make progress in every way that God give us grace. Now, here's a phrase I'm going to give you. Some people can find satisfaction and comfort by looking at their present status, their possessions, their finances, and circumstances. But other people find satisfaction and comfort by looking beyond their present status, possessions, finances, and circumstances. So some folk can look at their money and say, I got money, I'm good. Some say, I don't have what I need, I'm looking forward. Some say, man, I got my house, I got my two dogs and my car in the driveway, I'm good. Some folks say, I don't have my house yet or my car yet, I'm looking forward. So the same thing that makes some folk be content makes some folk look forward. And the thing is this, the people who have don't understand the people who don't. They don't, they can't, unless they choose to go and be with people. But as long as we look at our own stuff and are happy and satisfied, we don't have a heart to go forward. In some ways, a crisis, a pandemic, and a trouble in our society makes some of us get busy. Some of us pray more. Some of us are more active. Some of us speak out more, educate people. So some just sit back and say, I'm good, I'm good. Others say, no. Yeah, I'm good, but she's not good. He's not good. I got to help somebody. Amen? That's the spirit of progress, is that we help other people. So when I say progress, don't think only of yourself, but think also of others, all right? Now look at this. The Bible says, Paul said, we should reach for things which are ahead. Think about this. If you're in a race, how many have been runners in races? Let me see. Any runners, any kind of runners at all? A couple of you. Halfway, hands went halfway up. Okay. I didn't say now. I said at some point in your lifetime. There we go. I should have been more clear. At some point in your life. All right. But if you are involved in a racetrack and field especially, you didn't run to be running. You ran to train. You ran in the race because there was a 100-meter dash, 400-meter dash. In other words, there was a finish line. And so you began the race with the finish line in mind. So when Paul said, we're going to reach for things ahead, he's not saying, I'm going to look for it. I'm going to try to discover it. I'm going to try to find some help out here. I'm going to reach and reach. No. When you're reaching for things ahead, it's because those things are already there. You're not where they are. In other words, when I begin the race, I'm not at the finish line. But I know it's over there. I see it. If I can't see it, I know it's there. So when we as believers, when we reach ahead, we're reaching for things that God has already promised us. That's an important point. We're not trying to discover it. We're not trying to find it. It's already there. And we're going for it. So I'm going for it. Now, when Paul said, forget those things which are behind, please keep in context what he was saying here. Because some might say, well, y'all should forget about slavery. Y'all should forget about oppression and Jim Crow. Y'all will forget that. Just stop talking about it. And oppression and injustice. Well, I'd be happy to stop talking about injustice if it stopped happening. If stuff stopped, I stopped talking about it. Now, slavery has passed. I ain't talking about slavery. I'm talking about injustice today. And so when Paul said, forget what's behind, he was talking in context about forgetting your old sinful nature, your old sinful life, and then reach for a new life in Christ. That's the context. Say context. I mean, context is always important. You can draw other lessons from context, but first start with context. And the context is forget your old sinful life and reach for a new life in Christ. But I want to extend that to say to us, yes, we can forget our mistakes of the past. If someone has wronged you and has asked for forgiveness and you forgave them, forget it. Stop reminding folk of stuff they did wrong when they stopped doing wrong. Don't bring stuff up in the past. That's what he means by forget things behind. But if things are still happening, I can't forget it. I love to get past some things, but y'all just keep doing stuff. So I got to keep addressing it. I'm not going to stop addressing it until you stop doing it. We lose sight that things keep happening, so we have to keep addressing it. We are weary and tired of addressing it. I'm tired of things that I'm seeing, But I'm not so tired where I won't stop addressing it. Because it does help educate people, at least to make folks aware, hey, no, we're watching. And even though things will never, some things, y'all, racism is a part of the country. It's the fabric of the nation. It's in the fabric. It's like woven in. It's never going away because it's sinful. We're sinful as a nation. All of us are sinful. It's a great nation. We're sinful. The point is, because people will still continue to do foolishness, we have to continue to be vigilant and educate folk, help people, get folks arrested if need be. But understand that you're going to face some things your whole life. I was telling my daughter yesterday, and I digress a bit, but I'm going to say this. My daughter, oldest daughter, Michelle, is in corporate life, and they've been having corporate, you know, conversations. Everybody's having conversations, right? That's important. And I said, pause that. She's playing a talk sheet. I said, pause that for a minute. I said, I'm so sorry that you got to deal with this too. I mean, my dad dealt with it, his dad dealt with it, we dealt with it, and now my kids are dealing with it. I thought, man, by now, we should be past all this. So now my children are having to talk to folk and educate people and deal with false narratives. So the point is, yeah, we're making progress, and progress comes with diligence. Progress comes with vigilance. Progress comes with persistence at every level. Say every level. Amen. So that's the context. Now, let me share this. There is an article that ran in the Atlantic magazine written by a man named Abram Kendi, who is a jogger. He is a jogger. African-American. He runs. My son Jonathan runs. But he wrote an article entitled, Who Gets to Be Afraid in America? And here's a key phrase or a subtitle. He said this, Americans don't see me or Ahmaud Arbery, the man who was murdered. They don't see me or Ahmaud running down the road. They see their fear. Isn't that something? And so as it relates to the present day circumstances, yet racism and police brutality against African Americans is still going on. And those who say, let's get over it, and forget the past, don't understand. We can't forget what's still going on. And so I want to suggest to us and say to us that part of the principles of progress is, like I said earlier, we have to keep raising awareness, and most of all, hold people accountable that you know. I'll say, if I'm among African Americans, black folk, and they start talking crazy, and talking against white people in a way that's not appropriate, I'm going to say to them, don't talk like that. We don't need to have that kind of talk among people I know. So if everybody in their spheres of influence would talk to somebody who talk wrong and racist, because everybody's heard somebody say something they shouldn't have said. That police officer in Minneapolis had 18 complaints against him. Somebody heard him speak against black folk. Somebody who wasn't racist heard him speak against black folk, and they chose not to correct him. So I believe that's one of the keys here is making progress in this arena, I'm saying, is hold one another accountable. Because racism isn't even our problem. What'd I say? It's not my problem. If you're racist against me, that's your problem. It's not my problem. It's your problem. You should fix it, and people around you should help you fix it. So not only do we deal with things in prayer, but we also protest and demand change from those who have power to change. And when Ahmaud Arbery went out for a jog, he stopped to look at a house under construction. And he resumed his run. And they assumed he had done something wrong. They assumed he was someone who was reportedly had robbed someplace. All right. So he fit the description, they said. He was black. That was the description. He fit, okay? And running. And so these men assume he had done wrong, and they commenced to do a citizen's arrest. They got in the truck, took the guns, and chased this guy down the road, actually bumped him with their truck. And the mob was running as best he could. And he finally stopped running and turned around and faced him. And that's when they shot him, killed him. And so now they're under arrest. I mean, they've been arrested, so justice is being served. But the point is, I don't know who those men were, but obviously they were wrong in what they did. most likely racist, for assuming that Aubrey was up to something bad because he was out jogging in their neighborhood. So these are things that we just are not going to be able to ignore until those things stop. Amen. All right. Now here's some keys to principles of progress. Say power, perspective, and prize. Now pull these key statements from the text in Philippians chapter 3. First of all, Paul reminded us about power when he said that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus lay hold of me. See, there is a power in God giving you grace to take hold of what he's put inside of you. God's given all of us grace and gifts and opportunities. And so that we are designed, you were designed by God to possess everything he designed for you to have. You believe that? And that's there's power both in God and power in you when you're going to take hold of that which God gave you and use it. For example, the power to express your point of view, the power to express and educate people about what they don't know. There's power in sharing with people, talking to people. There's power in certain kinds of confrontation. There's power in prayer. All these things represent power from God given to you. Next, there is perspective. Say perspective. So Paul gave us a perspective when he said, I'm not perfected, I'm not yet perfected, but I press on. I like that. How many of you are not perfect yet, perfected yet? So because of that, what do? I press on. Because injustice is still happening, we press on. We press on. Because we have a lot to do, a long way to go. We come a long way. I don't focus on what I cannot do. I'm going to focus on what I can do. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to focus on what I cannot do. I'm going to focus on what I can do. There's a story I heard of a major league manager. They're like coaches. They call them managers. And he had a pitcher in the game who was pitching poorly. He was a good pitcher, but he was having a bad inning. But he left him in. He left him in. And the pitcher finally just caught fire and began throwing good pitches and striking out people. So after the game, they said to the manager, why didn't you take him out? The manager said, I was not looking at what he wasn't doing. I knew what he could do. I knew what he could do. He was making bad pitches early, but I knew what he could do. And I left him in. And sure enough, what he could do showed up. And sometimes we are so focused on what we cannot do that we stop ourselves thinking, I can't do this. But if God gave you grace, he gave you power, he gave you grace, he gave you gifts. So if you just stay in there and hang in there and trust God, what you can do will show up. Say, what I can do will show up if I don't lose heart. Now, next one is prize. Say prize. So God, Paul spoke of a prize, how we are going to gain a prize, which is the upward or high call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, again, he's talking about running. It's about runners, okay, the whole thing about runners. And so people who are in a race, again, they don't run just to be running. I mean, well, they may enjoy running, but when it comes to a race, you run to win. You run to finish, you run to win and go and run through the line, finish line. Well, the upper call of and high call of God is like that. What we do, people of God, what we don't do it because people always receive us. People always say thank you. We don't do that. We don't do it to receive praise of men. We do it because, first, we're called of God to do it. Second, we're reaching forward to what's already there. We press. And so even if I don't see what I want to see in front of me, it's still there. I got to press until I achieve it. You got to finish the race. Say, finish the race. And so, you know how it is. If someone tell you something like, hey, you know, you ask them a question, say, yeah, I'll try to be there, you know. Or the worst is, I might try. You may as well say, I'm not coming. Or I'm not going to do it. And as Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's a part of how you progress. People who progress are not iffy about their commitment. People who are making progress make commitments, right? They take decisions. They are decisive and can change a decision if it's not correct. But at least do not be a person who's lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. The consequence to that is not good, as we know Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Well, anything beyond, as Jesus said, yes or no, he said beyond that, it's from the evil one. So progress and reaching for the prize says, I'm going for an upward or a high call of God. And because of that, I'm going to keep my gaze on him. I have to deal with things around me, issues, problems, pandemics, racism, but nothing will keep my focus off of him. Now, my concern is people get off into issues, get so deep in issues, they lose focus on God. That can happen. So while we deal with issues, don't be defined by issues. Be defined by your pursuit of Christ. Be defined by progress. Amen? All right. In a world of injustice, hardships, and unfairness, we don't want to get caught by self-imposed limitations. There's enough to deal with already, people. Don't mess yourself up. Don't make mistakes. Don't do things that injure your own purpose. You know, I think about this, for example. Sometimes we are limited, we are self-limited from broken promises. We're not keeping our word. We're not doing what we say we're going to do. We're neglecting God's kingdom. He says, seek first the kingdom and what? His righteousness. We're not being kind to people and loving people. We're letting small things self-defeat us. We're looking for the big blessing to come in, the thing to happen we've been praying for, but yet we're limiting ourselves through neglecting what God said. So do not make the mistake of looking so much at injustice, at hardship, at unfairness, that we then are actually self-limiting through our own neglect. I told you before, when I was in art school, as a young man, had an art teacher I thought was a racist. Because, you know, where I came from in Arlington High School, I was the best in my own mind, okay? That was pretty good. I go to John Herron. So I go from being a big fish in a small pond to being a small fish in a big pond, and where teachers know what good and bad actually is, all right? And so I turned this assignment in. He said, it's not good, no. He gave me specifics. I said, I couldn't believe it. No, man. Nobody ever said to me, it's not good. And so I said, you're a racist. I went there. He said, Brian, that is inferior work. And something to me like, you know what? He ain't lying. And I realized, I was a freshman. I realized that you can't go calling people things when you're the one making a mistake. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes we cross the line in accusing somebody of something, but we ourselves are self-limiting. I learned that lesson a long time ago. But the point is, though, be aware and be mindful. The Spirit of God will show us where we are limiting ourselves and where we should just repent, make it right, and go forward. All right. Next point here, determine to move straight ahead. Beware of situations that demand you to not run straight ahead. You know, in this life, people offer you compromise. They offer you ways to do something and get something, but isn't altogether ethical or even sometimes even legal. So you determine to move straight ahead, not just straight like I'm going for God, but live right, do what's right, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Philippians 3:14 says, I run straight toward the goal And straight means I'm not going to be diverted or sidetracked or self-limit. I'm not going to be deceived and break my stride running straight toward him. He says, I'm running straight toward the goal, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to live the life above. That's actually Good News Translation. It says, so I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. Let's talk about roads and rivers. Let's just go straight there. Go to Isaiah 43. And let's look at this text and consider what the Lord is saying to us here. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So I want you to think about now how in your life, both from your old sinful life now to your new life, but also your circumstances of life. Sometimes even this coronavirus and injustice, we have to learn how to manage the past, learn how to manage the things that have hurt us, learn how to recognize that God's plan is always to elevate you. No matter what happens to you, he wants to elevate you. Say that. Say, God, thank you. You want to elevate me. So at first you say, because God's doing a new thing, I'm saying, Lord, what is the new thing? What are you doing? He said, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? How will you know it? Through prayer, through time in the word, through fellowship, through staying focused on the good things God is doing. The Bible says, Isaiah 43, and the Good News Bible says this, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Again, I'm not saying context for our times. I'm not saying forget about past injustice. Whatever's happening now is happening now. But learn to forgive people. Learn to not be defined by your former self, the former version of yourself. We're being renewed day by day. Amen. It says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Listen, you don't have all new things, but God has a power to make all things new. You got the same mind, you got the same, sometimes the same people in your life, but God can transform you so that those things look new or are new. Your mind can change, your thought pattern, your how you operate, your habits, they all can change. And so God is saying to us that I'm doing a new thing. Now, this has been in the Bible for centuries. So God is always saying this. He's always saying this. So when you discover it, he's saying it to you. Sometimes you hear it several times in your life, in different seasons of life. God said, okay, here it is now, new thing. New thing, new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And that thing is, it looks like this. Looks like a road in the wilderness. It looks like a river in the desert. Now listen, God does amazing things. God does the amazing and the impossible. Roads and rivers. A road, well, first of all, a wilderness is such because there are no roads. There's no civilization. A desert exists because there's no water. God says, I'll put roads in your wilderness. I'll create a river in your desert or in your desert. That's so when God talks about progress and helping you, God's way past just making an improvement and a tweak. God transforms us. When God gets involved with us, something dramatic, miraculous, and wonderful happens. And I think about this also, this thought here, that, you know, seeing new things requires shifting focus from former things, right? So I really can't see the new thing while I'm gazing at the old thing. And sometimes it's hard to make change. We've made changes in the natural, you know. We've changed our tech. We've changed things. But it's hard to see the new while hanging on to the old. In fact, it's actually impossible because God didn't make us. We're not omniscient. We can't know all. We can see one thing at a time. And moving forward, and upward requires both natural and supernatural intervention. Now, when God is working, understand he uses natural things. He uses people, schools, lots of things God uses. In addition to his supernatural power, he wants also help you see what are the resources you need in the natural. They both work together. Please receive that. I'm going to suggest this to you, that the roads speak of things natural, and the rivers speak of things supernatural. People have to build roads, but people can't build rivers. Rivers are, you know, nature. I'm suggesting that the combination of the natural and supernatural are so important. Sometimes Christians are just way too spiritual in the sense of they think that every answer is going to be spiritual. Well, in the big picture, it is, but the faith without works is dead. Faith is spiritual, works is natural. Works are things you do. Listen, even your works are empowered by the Spirit. You can go to school at the direction of God. God can lead you. So the natural things are from God's wisdom. And the supernatural things, we can't even imagine. So hear this now. You know how it is. You know, if you prosper financially, you're going to give and tithe and be generous and sow your seed. And that seed you sow comes back hundredfold. Amen. But if that money come back and you can't handle money, you got no budget, you don't manage the checkbook, you got a problem with things like that, you're going to just keep messing up and ruining and squandering the blessing of God. See, so the natural and the supernatural must work together as long as we're in the earth. Even when it comes to, again, racism and such, injustice. I got friends of mine just saying, hey, let's meet and have a conversation. All right, we're going to pray. Pray, okay, great. Converse and pray. Yeah, what else? We're going to go home. You're going to talk about all this and pray and go home and not write letters or not educate people? I mean, that's why these things never go away, because Christians don't really deal with it. Christians want to get to be happy. You know, I'm losing my joy over this. No, your joy is fine. You're losing happiness over this. But the joy is fine. Back up. Dr. King, that whole movement back there. They were preachers. They preached. They prayed and all that. But they knew that this won't change by us praying only and talking only. We've got to get a hold to people who have the authority to make the change. We got to work with the system as it is and get in there and make a difference. It was very difficult. This we know. And I believe we must have the same spirit in all things. Even with raising our children, our jobs, it is a mixture of the natural and the supernatural. That's all I'm saying. And let God help you with that. Because you're not less spiritual because you got to talk to someone about their bad behavior. And I mean, just talk to them, just straight talk, not just give them a scripture, but say, hey, man, that's, you know, inappropriate, maybe illegal. I mean, we have to talk to folk where they are. So then, natural, supernatural work together. Here are three final points. Now, there are three blessings that God is bringing on the path of your progress. And there's peace, there is purpose, and there is provision. Now, in peace, from the text in Isaiah, God said, the prophet said, do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. If you put your mind in the wrong place in the past, it'll take your peace totally away. Your peace will leave you if you put your mind in the wrong place and leave it there. Again, if you have had a problem with somebody and that has been forgiven, you go back to it, that'll take your peace away. All right? Second, he said, purpose. That text is, he says, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'm doing a new thing. Well, your purpose comes from the new thing. The old thing was good, it had purpose, but to continue to stay in God's will, look for the new thing that God is doing. Look for the purpose God wants to bring. And always, listen, it isn't always something big. It's something often, it's small. Something small, but very, very important to you. And it's essential to go forward and press forward, because things that spring up can only do so at a future time. So then, if what's coming to me, you know, obviously coming tomorrow, the next day, it's out there, but it's coming to me. And the seed that you plant, that you've planted, can only emerge in the future. So if I'm believing God for something, I've sowed a seed of financial seed or a seed of education or a seed of whatever it is, whatever it may be, new relationships. I plant that seed, that emerges in the future. Now, if I am not looking forward, I won't see the seed when it comes up. I plant it, I believe God, I've heard his promises, he's encouraged me. I said amen to it, and now I'm looking and stop looking for it. Circumstances come, coronavirus come, racism come. I mean, things come to pull your mind off of what God promised and what you've seen yesterday. So in order for you to behold and to see what is springing up, shall you not know it? You'll know it if you keep looking forward. Say, I'll know it if I keep looking forward. And let nothing or no one distract me. Amen. And the final point here is, first he said, the text indicates we have peace, there's purpose, and then now there's provision. Say provision. And God said again, I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God can do the impossible for you. Again, the natural and the supernatural all come from God. He gave us natural ability, he gave us spiritual abilities, and through God all things are possible. He will pave a road through your wilderness. He'll provide a river through your desert, which is provision in a dry place. Say, thank you, Lord. I have provision in a dry place. Let's all stand. Father, thank you. And out there, you stand with me if you can out there. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. Thank you for reminding us, Father God, of your grace, of your goodness. Thank you for reminding us that we make progress, Lord, in this time. We don't let anything deter us or turn us around, even though we are tempted often, Lord God, to back up, Lord, we have determined to go forward. Lord, thank you that as you've shown us from the Apostle Paul, that, Lord, he said, reach for things that are ahead. We're not looking for things. They're already there. We are reaching for them. And, Father, if we're not clear about what those things are, then give us grace to go into prayer, to listen to you, to look to you, to learn from you, because, Father, you are a God who keeps your promises. You do not lie. You do not fail. And I thank you, Father God, this opportunity today you've given us to worship, to learn. Now, Lord, let us now be doers of the word. Not hearers only, Father, but doers of your word. We thank you for your presence and for your grace in this moment, in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.